Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
And Pablo Cruz.
No. Boss Gags.
Boss Gags. Oh, I screwed it up.
Pablo Cruz.
What
did
was
you
his
say
song?
Pablo Cruz or Pablo?
No, not Pablo Cruz. Pablo Cruz. Oh, that's good, though.
Okay.
What was his song, Pablo Cruz?
I don't remember.
He had a cool one.
You're older than
at least
I am,
one hit.
So you'd remember that. Well, we've got a ton of stuff to cover today, but let's take care of a little business first. Sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop. Give them a call, 734-455-5560. You've been out to The Rock Shop, yes?
No.
Well, you need to go. They've got statuary on sale right now, about 50% off. It's the place to go if you want paving done, boulder walls, any of that kind of stuff. And what's nice about The Rock Shop is they will teach you for free how to install everything they sell for free, which is
I'm telling you, those rock walls, they've got to get down to the border, make a very stylish, decorative wall on that border.
Yes.
I mean, they would be – think of the advertising.
Well, if there were boulders, then we could roll them downhill too, right? Anyways, you can go to The Rock Shop, www.rock-shop, that's S-H-O-P-P-E.com, rockshop.com, rock-shop.com. And Helena and Marco run a great shop out there, so if you have any landscaping that you need to get done, especially as summer comes to a close here, it's getting a little cooler, it's time to get that work done. So go see them at The Rock Shop, 734-455-5560. All right, that's out of the way. Okay, so before we get into the meat of the show, because we all like to talk about Israel and the border and everything else. Come on, don't make me laugh this early in the show, would you? Let's talk a little bit about the 42nd Michigan House race. We've got the primary coming up on Tuesday. Let's make sure everybody votes. And one of the items for Livingston County people is the 42nd House. And Bill Rogers is leaving. He's term limited out. And we have three Republicans on the ballot. I don't know nor care about the Democrats, frankly. Does that mean? Anyways. So you have Lana Tice, Nick Fiani, and Rich Perlberg. And I'm going to say this once, and this will be the last time I say it, because hopefully he won't make it through. Do not vote for Rich Perlberg, please. He, as the editor of the Livingston County Daily Press and Argus, they, in the last two big presidential elections, they endorsed Barack Obama. Now, if somebody endorses Barack Obama, do you really think they would be considered a conservative, a true conservative?
I would suspect not.
Okay. So why this man is running as a Republican candidate is beyond me. They also endorsed under his leadership Carl Levin. So exactly. See, you're laughing, and it's the truth. I mean, not that Pete Hoekstra didn't make the attempt, I guess, but Rich Perlberg is far, far, far. I can beat up on them all I want. It's my opinion, and I'll do what I want. Do not, please. Look into it yourself.
How about Debbie Dingell?
Yeah, and don't vote for Debbie Dingell. Well,
I mean, is Perlberg a Dingell
fan? We should have gotten the other Democratic candidate running against Debbie Dingell on the show, like we did the guy get Reverend Horace Sheffield over John Conyers. I hope he wins that race. You take the lesser of two evils. I'll take a more conservative Democrat than a complete liberal like John Conyers. I'm trying to parse my words. Can you tell? Yeah, definitely in the 42nd House, because this is an important House election year for Michigan too. You don't want to undo what little we've gotten done in the last 4 years. Anyway, so make sure you do that. Don't vote for Rich Perlberg. Look at Lana Tice or Nick Fiani and check that out. The other race that we need to, I think, take a good, serious look at, and do your own homework. This one I'm not going to tell you not to vote for Mike Bishop. I prefer Tom McMillan. And you can go to The Drift, and we have some nice stuff there to tell you how they both voted as Michigan legislators. But I think Tom McMillan is the more conservative candidate. And I think that getting Mike Bishop had a lot of votes. He voted yes on a lot of Jennifer Granholm stuff. I'm not saying he's a complete liberal or anything, but I don't think he's as conservative as Tom McMillan. So please do your homework. Go to thedailydrift.com. And if you want to email me some comments or call into the show and talk about any of those candidates, we'll be happy to entertain that. 734-822-1600.
Whenever I hear McMillan, I can't help it. My TV-saturated brain thinks
McMillan
of
and wife.
McMillan and wife. Yes.
Yeah, that was a great show.
As a kid,
what was the one Dennis Weaver did?
Oh, he was a cowboy private detective.
Yes.
I loved that
in
whole
New York.
Genre.
Yes.
Saturday
Night Mystery Movie.
I can picture him riding his horse down through Manhattan.
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember it either. It'll come.
Derek will look that up for us.
Yeah. That. He's looking up trying to take – he's multitasking.
Yeah, he's multitasking.
But, definitely do that. And then, of course, the big one is Proposition 1, which is the elimination of the personal property tax. Now, if you're a business owner – and you've been paying personal property tax sometimes for decades on a piece of equipment, it always struck me as just wrong. You know, as a young man who started my first business, when I was told by an accountant that you got to pay your personal property tax on that equipment, I said, what? I paid tax on it when I bought it. No, you got to pay your personal property tax on it. And so you pay tax and tax year after year after year on something that's not worth anything anymore, you know?
So you're saying that you don't think it's right to pay rent to your partner, the government, on an old typewriter you bought 50 years ago?
You know, there are probably some people who are still paying a personal property tax on a typewriter, if you can believe it or not. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, go to thedailydrift.com. There's information from Michigan CapCon I've linked on there. And they did a great job. James Homan, I think, did a nice analysis of the Prop 1. And he says that really it's a good idea. Most people, there is no real formal opposition against it. And there's actually a few Tea Party are against it who are worried that it'll lead to more taxes of some sort, you know, one way or the other. But
I'm tired of paying personal property tax on my feather quill pens. It's getting a little old.
If George Washington were alive, he'd be paying personal property tax.
My powdered wig.
Yes. Let's take a call from John in Farmington Hills. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you again.
You too.
Well, I'm, say, around 12 Middlebelt, just down the street from me now at 9 in Farmington at some kind of a Presbyterian type of a church, one of those faiths. I might be wrong on it. They've bussed in 24 illegal aliens, and then they're going to put some in mid-Michigan, according to their own. And these people, you know, they say the immigration system's broken. It's not. And the government's the one that's been pushing that agenda, and these people have diseases, and they're going to be put in school with our kids in a month or so, and then those kids haven't had any shots because the younger women were told, don't inoculate because you might have autism, so they have no antibodies. And then the health care covers 14 to 41, and a lot of the seniors are still living at home because it's so hard to put them into a place, you know, you don't want to lose your parent, or just you may not be able to afford it now because of the economy, so they're helping out at the house, and that's going to take on those people with a really strained medical system that we have that's going to allow people to die. And then this part about the Ebola virus, it's not just bodily fluid. There's a documentation early on, I remember, way before Obama, this person in the country where they had it, one of the countries, was working at a plant and bumped in with their thigh to the bumper of one of the vehicles. And it, you know, ripped the pants a little bit and cut them like a scratch underneath the cloth, and they got Ebola and they ended up dying. So this part about that place where they have them, some other disease got out of there, ran rampant, if somebody looks it up. And it's just all part of a scare fear tactic to throw you off of the main topics that we need to be aware of for elections.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, John. There's so many scandals that we keep forgetting about. Benghazi, the IRS scandal. These things should always be there. But, you know, my editorial this last month, the August paper, The Current, is out. And it's was that last month I did the overwhelming of America? Maybe it was last month. I'm losing track. But anyways, it's the scandal after scandal. How can you keep track and how can you fight against something when you're just being overwhelmed?
The Cloward and Piven strategy.
Yeah.
It's like they're throwing scandals at us, overwhelming the system. My senses. I can't take anymore.
Who would have thought that a good tactic for a president would be to throw so many scandals at you that you start forgetting about the ones that were out there originally.
And then cheat and retreat and deny.
Yeah.
And blame Bush.
But if you're a president trained by Saul Alinsky and it's in your nature, it's in your DNA to destroy the United States of America, just like his ring says, Allah is the only God, when you Google Obama's gold ring, this is who he is. This is what he is.
Yeah.
And this is what he's doing. And we have got to keep rallying like you guys are doing toward this voting to get people to wake up right away, or we won't be able to wake up.
Yeah, well, you keep working at it too, John, on your end. And thanks for calling in and making these great points. So we'll talk to you hopefully next week.
God bless.
Take care.
Here's a question for you. All this talk about Ebola.
Yeah.
Should I throw away my monkey jerky from Liberia? I just got it.
It's cooked, dude. It's probably fine.
Bush meat.
Yeah. Derek, did we lose a call? We lost Dennis, didn't we?
No, we didn't have a call.
Oh, okay. The Dennis one. Anyways, I'm reading that wrong. I must be getting cross-eyed when I look at the screen here. I don't want to really get into the Ebola thing because it kind of makes me queasy just thinking about it. Did you ever read The Hot Zone? The book that was when Ebola first came out, I think.
I've heard of it, but I have not read it.
The market years ago. Kind of made me sick when I read it, you know. But I think what people miss the point is these viruses really can mutate so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And in the hot zone, they worried about a hemorrhagic virus that quickly mutated into an airborne, meaning it spreads by cough or respiration. And that's when you've got a real problem on your hands. You know, it's not just the bodily fluids or physical contact. It can be coughed into an airplane, and then everyone on the plane breathes that in, and away you go. So that's the problem with viruses. They can mutate so rapidly, you never know what you're going to have in 24 hours with a virus.
Oh, yeah, they're constantly changing, adapting this whole – it's like a speeded-up evolution.
Yes, and that's the tuberculosis that's running around as well.
You know,
out there that we had a guy that got cut loose from custody out in California, and they – you know, who knows how many people he infected. So, yes, the border issue is very critical, and sanitation and everything. I was reading an article earlier today about a lot of these kids coming from Guatemala and El Salvador. They don't even know how to use toilets. So they go into the bathrooms and
– Sometimes that's the case around here. You know, speaking of
– How are you going to get out of that one? The boss is right down the hall.
I'm sure I'm in trouble for that one. You know, I'm kind of fascinated with mosquito-borne illnesses, you know, these viruses they carry. And I was joking around with Linda and Matt earlier about this chikungunya virus. I don't know why it's called that, but it's coming from the Caribbean.
It sounds like a Chinese dish.
I know. It makes me hungry. Yet it's a virus carried by mosquitoes that I guess gives severe joint pain and possibly fever. It seems like everything.
So it's kind of like a malaria virus.
Yeah, but these mosquitoes, I mean, they carry so many dangerous diseases, and I'll bet you now I think the latest outbreak in West Africa is what, 700 deaths or so due to Ebola, and it's spreading through Liberia and
Sierra Leone,
I should say, and but I'll bet you that other viruses carried by mosquitoes, like including malaria, probably kill tens of thousands every year.
Yeah.
In Africa. That just goes on constantly. But I guess this chicken it makes me
gunya.
Laugh. Chikungunya is kind of similar to dengue fever.
Yeah. Without the marsala sauce.
Yeah, without the tasty portion.
Dude, you're making me laugh over something as serious as that. Shame on you. Let's take a call.
Too soon?
Let's take a call from Joe from Ann Arbor. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Joe. What do you got on Prop 1 for us?
Yeah, well, I haven't thoroughly researched this thing like I should have, but I am aware that one of our Tea Party higher-ups have informed us that it's going to be some kind of authority that's calling the shots on this thing. And the impression I got is that when authority gets involved, that's never a good thing. I was wondering what you guys think about that.
Yeah, you know, I actually had this pulled up here. Michigan Capcom, James Holman, takes care of that. He answers that question because there were three of them, and my phone's not acting the way it should, so I can't pull that up. All right, here it is. Jim Holman says one of the concerns, there's three of them from the Tea Parties, and one of those concerns is that a new local authority is set up. According to James Holman, this authority, the Local Community Stabilization Authority, has no discretionary taxing or borrowing authority, and its role is simply to reimburse local governments. So according to James Holman, that's not a problem. One of the other, he addresses three issues here that the Tea Party people are having. The second one is this will lead to future tax increases. And he says the legislature always wants to find more money and hike taxes rather than cut spending. But with a $53 billion state budget and a 10-year phase-in, there will be little pressure caused by this tax cut to raise taxes in the future. Economic growth should be far more important, and that growth will be bolstered by these new tax exemptions. And the last problem that Tea Party people seem to have is confusion about how the proposal is worded and a general distrust of government politicians. Distrust of government is good in his opinion, and you have to watch how it's worded. But in this one, he says definitely voting yes on this is a good one. So you're right. There are some issues, and they seem to be the Tea Party guys that are more scared about it. And I can't blame them. We're all distrustful of government. But in this case, I think it's a good proposition, and I'm voting yes for it for sure.
Oh, okay. I notice I got a postcard from my representative, Jeff Irwin, and he seems to be behind it. So I guess the Dems are on for it, too.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where you say, well, if the Dems are voting for it, it's got to be bad, you know, and I think a lot of Tea Party think that, you know. But you know what? Let's all be civil and adult about it. There are some things even Democrats can be right on. You know, what do we say? A broken clock is right twice a day. So.
Right. If it's a good thing, it's a good thing. So
yeah. So
thanks a lot.
Go to Michigan CapCon and they'll you can get all the details on that.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Okay, take care, Joe.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, I was going to take a break, but we're so far into the half hour. What's the point?
Oh, okay. I went over and I had Derek pull up a song for us. All this talk about authority, I thought was pretty appropriate. But if we're not going to go to break, it's not.
We can bring it. But Derek, let's go to break, and when we come back, you're going to play it when we come back?
I don't know. Derek, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll play it when we come back.
Okay. So let's go into break because I need to hit the little boys.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you on the other
side. That coffee will add up.
That's right.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
My husband was the love of my life.
I really wish he could come back.
We ended up taking it out on each other, and we knew something needed to change, and then we heard about Ellie's Place.
Ellie's Place was special because everybody felt the same way I did.
Hi, I'm Sue Snyder, First Lady of Michigan. Grieving children need support, and Ellie's Place is here to help. Visit elliesplace.org.
Do you have an extra dollar per month to spare? If so, why not use it to make the world a better place? DollarPerMonth.org empowers donors to create real change in the world by supporting causes that mean something to them. Global health care, wildlife preservation, the environment, clean water, pick one. Your donations are distributed monthly to three charities that have a proven track record for being responsible with their own donor contributions. Go to DollarPerMonth.org today and see what your dollar can do.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband, Helmut, had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit FacingAFib.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from WHAM Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that NM Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at WHAM Talk 1600. Yeah!
Okay, well, there's your authority song.
There it is.
Yeah, you pulled
kind
it right
of appropriate.
Up.
Appropriate.
Very appropriate. So, we're already getting into the immigration thing. I always lose control of these shows. Well, why is that?
Can That's never because see that. I'm here.
All right, let's talk a little bit about border. And our invisible Congresswoman, Candace Miller. We never hear from Candace Miller. She stays off the TV circuit and the talk show circuit. You never hear. But anyway, she did a video and talked about the last-minute House passing the border bill last night. And from what I've seen so far, I'm happy with it. I'm sure there's something in there I'm not happy about. But, Derek, let's go with track one and talk. Listen to what Candace has to say about the bill the House passed last night.
Today, the House passed legislation that allows the U.S. to immediately call in the National Guard to secure our border. It reforms current law to allow for the expedited deportation of the unaccompanied children being illegally smuggled into the U.S. It accelerates judicial proceedings of immigrant children, and it strengthens repatriation efforts in Central America. Most importantly, the cost is completely offset with cuts to other spending, and it accomplishes these important priorities at no additional cost to taxpayers. And instead of using this crisis as a way to further increase federal spending, as suggested by the President when he requested $3.7 billion in new spending with no offsets to current spending, the short-term funding provided in the House bill is entirely offset by cuts to existing federal programs, including approximately $240 million in foreign aid, and is focused entirely on securing the border and returning those who have come here illegally in an expedient and a humane way. Additionally, the House voted to prohibit the President from abusing his executive power to further grant amnesty to illegal immigrants, action that he is apparently considering once again by bypassing the legislative process and refusing to work with the Congress.
Okay, so knowing that, what they passed last night sounds good, right?
Right.
And what they tried to pass earlier in the day before obviously had a bunch of stuff that wasn't liked, and I'm sure maybe Ted Cruz and some of the other guys aren't happy with it. I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. We'll probably see it on the Sunday talk shows. Any chance of this passing the Senate? Absolutely not. Any chance of it passing past Obama?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So is it in vain? Yes. But that makes the point to the American people that as Republicans, we just passed a bill to stop this, to repatriate those people out of here so they don't stay. And by the way, we're passing this so that Obama can't, because he's going to do it. Shall we take bets on it? I'm betting dollars to donuts. Sometime this month or next month, he's going to pass some type of executive action making parents of anchor babies legitimate, not citizens, but at least validate them for work permits and whatnot. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he went on TV Friday afternoon and basically said, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, and I think part of that is all the political brinksmanship of, you know what, I'm going to do it. You go ahead and try and impeach me for it so that the American public says, oh, let's not vote for Republicans. They're wasting time on impeachment. Now, we can talk about impeachment if you want, but yes, he should be impeached. Yes, he's broken the laws. Let's not do anything about it right now because you are going to waste. From a political standpoint, why waste your time? You're not going to get the Senate to impeach him, right?
No, absolutely not.
So anyone that even talks about impeachment, frankly, are out of their mind because it's a waste of time.
Yeah, it'd be symbolic.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll continue our border discussion and call in 822-1600. See you on the other side.
Blaze Radio News, I'm Jim Parisi. The first doctor flown to the U.S. for treatment of Ebola set to arrive today in Atlanta. The AP reporting the plane carrying Dr. Kent Bradley left West Africa, the private jet with a special tent designed for carrying people with highly infectious diseases. They're headed to Emory University Hospital, originally built for federal workers exposed to the world's dangerous germs. With Congress now on summer break, some say President Obama will act unilaterally when it comes to immigration reform.
The president saying if Congress won't do its job, he'll do what he has to himself.
House Republicans actually got together this week and voted to sue me for taking actions on my own. And then they left town for the month without settling a bunch of unfinished business that matters to working families across America.
Obama in his weekly address. In the GOP address, National Republican Congressional Committee Chair Greg Walden saying the president has nothing to be proud of during his term in the White House.
A debt bigger than the size of our economy. A humanitarian crisis at our southern border. The IRS targeting Americans for their political beliefs. And the rolling disaster that's Obamacare.
I'm Ken Stevens, The Blaze News.
The House sending a border bill to an empty Senate. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
The House approves a bill providing nearly $700 million to address the crisis at the border. The Senate begins their August recess without passing a bill of its own and with no plans to consider the House bill. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain.
The fact that we didn't act in the United States Senate, at least the House acted today. If we had had amendments and debate and votes, we could have produced a product and gone to conference with the House and gotten a bill to the Senate, to the desk of the President of the United States. It is shameful that we now are going out of town and leaving this humanitarian crisis alone.
McCain with Fox's Neil Cavuto. I'm Tom Peace, The Blaze News.
This is news on The Blaze Radio Network. Truth.
If you have never been to the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, get ready to be amazed. You will have tons of fun and save tons of money. Call 734-455-5560. Come and explore the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road. You can see beautiful displays featuring our many available products of brick pavers, retaining walls, slate patios, fountains, and rock siding, as well as fireplace and landscape kits. Statuary is now on sale, and you can save up to 50% off of in-stock products or order from one of our many fine manufacturers of garden art. We will instruct you on proper installation for every product we sell for free. Bring the kids to see our Rock Hound Room, a unique gift shop full of fossils, crystals, and gems. The Rock Shop is conveniently located just north of M14 at Exit 15. Call 734-455-5560 or go to www.rock-shop.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to the...
what happened there?
When your cord gets caught under the chair and all
That's
of a sudden...
That's not a euphemism, is it?
Anyway, let's talk real quick about I asked a question during the break. Once, if there are survivors of Ebola, 10%, whatever, mm-hmm. are they immune to getting Ebola a second time? And, of course, neither one of us have any idea. But so I quickly asked the question, do you have immunity after you've had it once? And I didn't get that answer. But I did find from the, this must be a French website, it looks like French, Institut de Recherche pour Development. So it's got to be French anyways. 15% of the people in Gabon, a country in Africa, mm-hmm. actually have natural immunity against it.
Mm.
And that it's spread by the fruit bat in that part of the world. And so the saliva and fruit bat. So don't eat fruit in West Africa when there's fruit bats around because they may have somehow left fluids on it.
I'll have to cross that off my bucket list.
Yeah. So anyways, it's surprising that, the information that is out there, so educate yourself on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let me ask you this. Would you go to West Africa for any reason?
I have no desire to really go to Africa. I kind of would like to do a safari and see the elephants and the lions, mm-hmm. you know. But I want to see a hyena, really. Call me crazy. Or the wild dogs. I heard tell the wild dogs in Africa are now an endangered species, which kind of amazes me. You would think a dog would be able to thrive well in any environment.
Those Cape African hunting dogs?
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, I think
I'd like to see
called.
A Cape Buffalo, too. Yeah. So, yeah, but no, that other part of Africa, no. I'm not a big jungle guy. Spiders, lizards, you can keep all that. I don't need it.
Yeah, all the tropical diseases and yeah. like we're talking about. And I mean, there's dozens of other ones and probably yeah. some we haven't
if
even
I want
really...
that kind of humidity, I'll go hang out in Arkansas. Just saying.
Go work it out.
Fine. Well, the only thing I have to worry about is spotted fever from a tick. Yeah. I can deal with that. Give me the Lyme disease. I'm okay with that. Don't want Ebola.
Work in an un-air-conditioned chicken factory in Arkansas would be the equivalent, where they lock the doors on you so you can't get out when there's a fire.
Okay, let's get back to some serious before we offend somebody with our Ebola talk. Anyways, I'd wanted to play another track because I guess it was a pretty lively debate last night when the Republicans were passing this bill. And Congressman Tom Marino, who is from the 10th District in Pennsylvania, stated something pretty clearly that I think a lot of us forget. Derek, do you have track two ready? Let's listen to this. And now I'll give you a little prelude to it. It goes on long, and Nancy Pelosi takes real offense at this, where she actually marches across, and it's the video is on thedailydrift.com, marches across the floor to yell at this guy. So if you want to see it in full, go to thedailydrift.com and scroll down and watch
it. She always reminds me of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Picture her on a broom.
Let's roll with that.
Amazing that they say because the president would not sign this bill and because the Senate would not pass this bill, they're right, the Senate wouldn't pass it. There are hundreds of bills on Harry Reid's destiny would not bring to the floor for a vote. And certainly the president would not encourage that to be done. But we are doing our job here in the House. We put a lot of time and effort in this. We looked at this law and we realized what had to be done. I come from a law and order background. And we don't have law and order. We have distrust. We have gangs coming across. We have drugs coming across the southern border. And my colleagues on the other side don't want to do anything about it. You know something that I find quite interesting about the other side? Under the leadership of the former speaker and under the leadership of their former leader, when in 2009 and 2010, they had the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they knew this problem existed. They didn't have the strength to go after it back then, but now are trying to make a political issue out of it now. What we need to do is pass this legislation. Make sure that these children get back to their families, and we need to line up and protect this border from people coming across.
Gentlemen, we'll
yes,
continue.
Yes, it is true. I did the research on it. You might want to try it. You might want to try it, Madam Leader. Do the research on it. Do the research. I did it. That's one thing that you don't do.
Gentlemen, we'll address his comments to the Speaker.
It works both ways. Mr.
Gentleman will continue. The gentleman is recognized.
With that, I urge my colleagues to vote for this legislation because apparently I hit the right nerve. I yield back.
I love it. He thought on his feet. He stood up to Nancy Pelosi. He didn't cower or back down.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, is when Obama says, well, this bill passed by the House, or at one point they were debating it, and he was commenting on the House about to pass this bill, he said he kind of takes the as if he's taking the high ground, and that because it won't go through the Senate and he'll veto it if it does, that somehow it makes what the House is doing stupid or immaterial or useless, in that there's no logic to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to get away with taking that tone, and I think influences a lot of people, like, well, what's the House doing? They're wasting their time. But no, they're doing the right thing. It's the Senate and Obama that are wasting us as citizens' time because they won't do the right thing.
That's right. There's over 330 bills sitting in the Senate that the House has passed, and they haven't even brought them to the table to discuss in the Senate. So that's Harry Reid and the Democrats that are holding things back. And the media just buys it.
Right.
Oh, no.
Right, exactly.
The Republicans aren't doing anything. Yes, they have. The Republicans have done their job. The Senate and Barack Obama have not done their job. It's not the Congress's fault. It's not the House of Representatives' fault. Before we move back
But Obama is just so skilled, in conjunction with the media, like mm-hmm. you said, presenting it as if it is all the House's fault, and he's taking this moral high ground, and that he's always right. He just always seems to come across that way, and I think, like you said, the media eats it up and doesn't confront him, and your average Joe does too.
That's journalists not doing the job. Let's take a call from Stephen in South Lyon. Wants to talk about mosquito-borne illnesses. Maybe he can educate us a bit. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, gentlemen. I appreciate your putting me on. I just wanted to call in and use some logic like the liberals do, that, you know, every time somebody is shot, and I don't want to make light of that, but every time someone is shot, they want to make something else illegal. And if these mosquitoes are carrying illnesses, we should make them illegal. We just need to make these damn bugs illegal, because that way people wouldn't be killed by the illnesses that they're carrying.
Well, you make a point. You know, if we had mosquito-free zones, say, in schoolyards, everything would be cool.
Yeah.
I think people in Ann Arbor might be able to get behind this, you know, and start doing the whole petition door-to-door thing.
I love this show. Stephen, that's a great, great point. Well, it does. It points out the fact that you can't legislate everything. Not all problems are solvable through legislation. So,
that's true.
Excellent point, Stephen. Thank you so much.
But you know what? On the border, though, when they say our immigration laws are broken, no. The laws aren't broken. The federal government is broken in that it won't enforce the laws on the books.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the federal government's broken, not the laws that we should at least make some serious attempts to enforce.
Yeah. When they say immigration is broken, it's not. Enforce the laws we have and things would be much better. Maybe not perfect, but certainly much better. And Stephen, do you have anything else?
No, that'll be it. Thanks, all right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for calling in. Okay. Yeah. Baby steps. I don't trust our government to do anything right. Do one thing, small thing at a time. Close the border.
Right.
Get control of it. Close it, fence it, whatever. I wish the Republicans would come out with one thing. Authorize spending to build, get three bids to build a fence all the way down that border. Do whatever you got to do to get fencing, double fencing. If nothing else, right now, put in three rows of razor wire as a start. And put the National Guard down there. It's not that difficult. You want to get control of your border, get control of your border.
I thought of something when I was listening to Candace speaking about the money. It's going to be offset by cuts in other areas. Mm-hmm. And it's under $1 billion, right, that the House wants to spend. And I just thought, all right, so here's a, and rightly so, here's a concern to offset that spending by cutting other spending. But we waste so much money on crap that if they were to come out on an important issue like this and say, we're going to spend $100 billion on building that wall and securing the border, and we're going to borrow it all from the Chinese, I'd say, do it.
Yeah. That's money I would consider borrowing, yes.
It'd be worth it.
That would be worth it, absolutely. But we can probably stop giving money to Palestine and have enough money to build at least part of the wall, a good chunk of it. You know what
and
I mean?
Pakistan.
And Pakistan.
And all
we'd
the other
We'd probably give
usual
money to
suspects,
Iran, too.
The Qataris.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, there you go. We're going to get to those people in a minute. Let's take a call from Ken. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just want to quickly comment. You referred to Barack Obama trying to take the moral high ground in this issue. And I just wanted to say that it's pretty tough for a guy that believes it's okay to murder a baby in its mother's womb, even up to the 9 months before it comes out. And it's pretty tough for a guy who says it's okay to have same-sex marriage, even though God describes their behavior as an abomination.
Yeah. Hey, Ken, I think you may have misunderstood me you're being facetious.
I understand.
He comes across that way, the way he presents it, and people buy that and eat it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understood.
Okay.
You make a good point, Ken, because the hypocrisy is, you know, Nancy Pelosi was on screen. Oh, it's for the children. We've got to save these children.
Yes.
Really? You're going to spend millions of dollars saving these children. What about the children you kill every year because you pay money to Planned Parenthood to give abortions?
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah, great point, Ken. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, you guys take care.
Hey, you too, Ken.
Take care.
And you know, these various church groups, too, not that they support abortion, but when they just so naively want to bring these illegals in, and maybe not so naively. Maybe they have an agenda, too, because they want the money.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I was about to say that. They're being duped. Well, they're not being duped. They're doing it for a reason. They can get into the government teat as well as anybody else. Let's house these children and get some of that Obama money.
So probably the leaders have that agenda, whereas maybe the masses in these groups just like, oh, yeah, it's about the children.
Sure.
They don't probably look at it as about the money, whereas the leadership of those groups, that's probably their main motivation.
Right. You know, I'm not saying treat these children bad. You know what? Treat them if they're sick. Give them some food, put them on a plane and send them home, or put them on the death train and send them
home. It all goes back to they shouldn't be here.
I'm only kidding.
It all goes back to they shouldn't be here in the first place, and until that border is secured, I can't take any of all this. I can't take any of this talk serious from the federal government, period.
Why hasn't Obama done the one thing? It's so simple. Have a press conference and market it strictly to our Central American and Mexican neighbors. Don't come here. The border is now closed. You're not going to get amnesty. I'm not going to. Well, he can't do it. That's what he should do. It would be that simple. He could stop it with one televised speech and do it in subtitles or learn Spanish. He doesn't have to be that long. He can learn Spanish for a couple of paragraphs and say that. You're not welcome here at this time. You know, if you want to bring him in later, just get in line and do it legally, whatever. Follow the law. But all he's got to do is do that.
Yeah, especially since he's the one that put the bug in their ear that they could come and stay.
Yes. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we can continue this or shift tunes, shift subjects, and go talk about Israel and Palestine a little bit. We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600 is your conservative powerhouse in Southeast Michigan and online around the world. Start your weekdays each morning at 6 with Bill Bennett's Morning in America, giving you the day's first look at the news-making headlines. At 9 a.m., Glenn Beck blazes the airwaves with his blockbuster radio program. Glenn, Pat, and Stu knock down the mainstream media's hype with humor and truth. At noon, Laura Ingraham pulls no punches and shines a light on the political insanity that dominates Washington. At 3 o'clock, shift into high gear with Wham's own Theron. On the Edge is unapologetic and common sense driven. It's the tough love truth America needs to hear. At 6 o'clock, irreverent, feisty, fearless. It's the Dana Show with the Blazes' Dana Lash, your conservative alternative. At 8 p.m., it's Jerry Doyle. Jerry cuts no slack for the left or right. Keep your radio tuned to Wham Talk 1600 AM and keep everything else at whamradio.com.
I work hard and I don't want anybody using my money to support things I might not agree with, like the political stuff my union was doing with my dues, and they told me I had to pay them or lose my job. It's good that the National Right to Work Foundation and the U.S. Supreme Court agreed that U.S. workers can't be compelled to support a union's political activities through forced union dues. They helped me get my money back. For free information or help, call National Right to Work at 800-336-3600 or visit nrtw.org.
SSS.gov presents the world's easiest to-do list.
Done.
It's quick, it's simple, and it'll keep you out of trouble and eligible for great benefits. If you're a man turning 18, go to SSS.gov and register with the Selective Service System.
Done.
It's an easy way to keep the door open to great benefits, like college loans and government jobs. And it's the law. Go to SSS.gov and register now.
Done.
See, that was quick.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities. It's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to the Drift, Catching the Drift, with me and Brandon Drake.
Hey.
And Derek doing production. Thank you, Derek.
Sure thing.
So let's shift gears and talk Israel and Palestine, and the ceasefire brokered by the United with the help of the United States. And, of course, it lasted not even hours before Hamas came out of a tunnel, threw bombs, and kidnapped an Israeli soldier.
Well, they're a humanitarian group that one can rely on and trust.
Exactly. So let's start with...
Talk about the tunnels, too, before we wrap it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's start with Nancy Pelosi, who has been told by our honest good friends, the Qataris, this.
So, again, this has to be something where we try to have the two-state solution, that we have to support. We have to support Abbas and his role as leader there. We have to support Iron Dome to protect the Israelis from the missiles. We have to support the Palestinians and what they need. And we have to confer with the Qataris, who have told me over and over again that Hamas is a humanitarian organization. Maybe they could use their influence
Seriously, maybe how does anyone take her serious?
Yeah, maybe they could use their influence, because Qataris told me that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, how do you support Palestinians and Hamas when they're lobbing them? Israel has to have that Iron Dome, and yet you're saying let's support the people that are lobbing the rockets that requires them to have the Iron Dome? Are you kidding me?
Wasn't she also upset that we had not paid for the Iron Dome for the Gaza Strip as well? For them to have it against Israel?
I had that story somewhere, but I didn't bring it up for the show, so I can't. Yes, but it's in there. It was the UN, actually. The UN was complaining.
That's right, the UN.
That Israel needs to share the Iron Dome with Palestine, with Hamas. What? Are you people on drugs at the UN? You know what? They should raid the UN for drug use, because there's something going on there that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, that and the fact that Nancy Pelosi sounds like she's on the dating game.
She sounds like she's on something. You know, I want to talk about the tunnel system. Yeah. I guess this is really being discovered as much more extensive than even the Israelis thought. I guess these tunnels, there's many of them, and they're connected, and some of them very sophisticated. It reminds me of a book I read on Vietnam called The Tunnels of Cu Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And to our listeners out there, if you've never read this book, you know, the Vietnamese were just, the Viet Cong and with the help of the NBA, they were just absolutely incredible in building these tunnel complexes. And one tunnel complex was right where we built an air base on top of, unknowingly. And the Vietnamese would come out and attack and blow up planes and then disappear underground again. And before our guys could respond, it'd be like the enemy was gone. But they had factories, hospitals, ammo depots, food storage, and they lived in these underground. And then once we discovered them, our guys, who were called the tunnel rats because they were small, could get in there. But nothing was really working. We tried flooding it. We tried blowing them up. Nothing really seemed to work. And the only thing that really was effective was B-52 strikes, because the shock waves from the bombs would cause these tunnels to collapse. So I don't know if the Hamas tunnels are as extensive as the Viet Cong tunnels, but that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I had the honor of meeting a tunnel rat way back when I was in college, because I would go drink in college at the bar and got a chance to, and actually sat down with a guy that I ended up becoming friends with, and he was always very parsed about his words, but you'd get it out of him after a few drinks. But he was one of the guys, they would give him a 45 and send them down
into the tunnel. Flashlight in his mouth?
And, he was scarred from that, because, imagine winding your way through those tunnels trying to kill whatever's there if they don't kill you first.
Oh, booby traps.
Oh, yeah.
They put snakes. I mean, all kinds. I remember one story where, and what's cool about this book, too, I referenced Tunnels of Kuchi. They had interviews with both sides, Viet Cong survivors that were living in those tunnels and our guys. So it was really interesting. But they would store food in there, and you'd have this, I remember this guy, he tunnel rat got in there and he tore down this facade, where it looked like it was part of the dirt and everything, and it was actually very disguised well. And all of a sudden the smell came out and he just started vomiting, just gagging and everything. And what it was is it was stored rice that had rotted, but the Vietnamese would eat that stuff. I mean, that's how tough these people were.
Yeah. Well, jokingly, but maybe not jokingly, maybe the ways to handle the tunnels, fill them with pigs. I'm just saying, you're going to have pigs, and the Muslims will have to kill the pigs, but in doing so, they'll get pig blood everywhere in the tunnel. Maybe they won't use it.
How about just bags and bags and bags of pork rinds?
Or bacon-flavored vodka. We'll get them on two fronts there. The tunnels are absolutely extensive, and it's why it's taking them so long to get this done. I mean, they have to make sure, and they're going to come back and do it again. So this will all repeat in 5-10 years from now.
Oh, probably even less.
Or less.
What I have heard is when they blow up part of the tunnel, it's just like, part of it is blown up, and they're very difficult to find because a lot of these tunnels begin in houses, mosques. When you've got 1.8 million people, that's a lot of houses.
Yeah.
And you don't know where these tunnels originate from.
Yeah, let's get to the son of a Hamas co-founder, Mossab Hassan Youssef, is now a Christian. He became a Christian. And, Derek, do we have track 4 there? Let's run that real quick before the end of the hour so you can hear what he thinks of Hamas.
Hamas movement is not a national organization, and it's not a humanitarian organization. Hamas is a terrorist organization with a humanitarian face to it. Basically, Hamas hijacked what's so-called the Palestinian cause to push their political and religious, most importantly, ideological agendas. Hamas does not care. If tomorrow Israel comes to Hamas and say, we give you the 1967 borders, Hamas is not going to agree for that.
Yeah.
Basically, because they don't have political boundaries to their ideology. They want to destroy the state of Israel.
Okay, so there you go. From the horse's mouth, not good people, not to be trusted. So, well, that's the end of the show.
If you can't trust Hamas, who can you trust?
Oh, goodness, yes. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay informed.
Take care.
See you.